The daf for today is daf tes. We're going to begin on the bottom of daf ches amid beis, four lines up from the bottom. Boy minei rami bar chama mirav chizda. So here's the question that Rami bar chama asked Rav Chizda, and we're talking about a case where he wants to be metakein a mavui, but he doesn't put the korah on top of the walls of the mavui, but rather what he does is not shtei yisedos b'shnei kosle ha-mavui mi-bachutz. What he does is, if you're imagining in front of your eyes the entrance into the mavui, and you've got the two walls, one on the right, one on the left, facing you, he takes these kind of short poles and drills them into the top corners of the two walls, so that when he lays his korah down on these two poles, in effect, the korah is not inside the mavui, but rather outside the mavui. Hiniach korah al gabei mahu. Amal leis, or Rav Chizda responds, l'divrei ha-matir osur, l'divrei ha-oser mutar. We had a machlokes on daf chesamid beis with regard to tachas ha-korah. Are you allowed to carry underneath, directly underneath the beam on top of your head? And there was one opinion that said it's osur, because we consider that the korah is the fourth mechitza to close off the mavui, but that mechitza begins on the inner side of the beam, not the outside of the beam, but inner, towards the mavui. And therefore, if you're standing directly underneath the korah, you're outside the heter korah, and you cannot carry this. And according to that, Mandi Omar, says Rav Chizda, here in this case, which we'll try to explain, it would be mutter. However, according to the Mandi Omar, who says that it's mutter in the case of tachas ha-korah, here in this case, he would say it's osur. And let's explain the logic of Rav Chizda. It's a very compelling logic. If you hold that it's also l'shtamesh tachas ha-korah, then your emphasis in the korah is on the inner side of the korah, the inner edge, if you will, of the korah. And in this case, where he places the korah on top of these two poles that are extended beyond the two ksalim, then the inner side of the korah is coming in contact with the ksalim. So in effect, he has laid down his beam on top of the walls of the mavui. If, on the other hand, I take the position that tachas ha-korah is mutter, what that means to say is that the beam serves as a closure to this fourth side of the mavui, because of the outer lip, or the outer side of the mavui, facing the Rishus HaRabim. And that's where the mechitza goes down from the top, Yorid V'Sosen. And that's why you're allowed to use under the korah. But on the other hand, it's going to be the flip side, says Rav Chizda, in our case, where the korah is situated directly outside of the mavui on top. Because in that case, if we're going to put the emphasis on the outer chud, the outer edge of the korah, then clearly the korah is ineffective because it's not inside the mavui, rather it's outside the mavui. Rava disagrees with Rav Chizda. L'divrei ha-oser nami oser. Even according to the Mandi Omar, who says you're not allowed to use and carry in the area directly below the korah, and the logic behind that is because it's the inner lip, or chud, as it's called, the chud apnimi, it's called in Hebrew, the inner side of the korah that goes down as a mechitza. And therefore you would say here, in our case, where the korah is laying on these two poles, perhaps we could be matir, as Rav Chizda argued. He says, "Be'inan korah al gabi mavui v'leka." it's not enough, says Rava, that the Korah maybe is smack up against the two walls of the Mavui and directly attached therein. We need, as a precondition for Korah, that it be sitting on the airspace of the Mavui. In this case, the Korah is not sitting on the airspace of the Mavui. Leka, therefore, if that condition has not been fulfilled, then the Korah is meaningless. It's ineffective because it's in effect outside of the Mavui. Eisvei Rav Ada Bar Masna L'Rava. And at this point, we're going to turn to Daf Tes Omen Aleph, our Daf for today. We have a brisa that says, Hoysa Koroso Mishucha. If the Korah is distant from the walls of the Mavi Otluya, or alternatively, it is suspended in midair, so it's certainly not sitting on top of the Korah. Now, you might ask, how is it possible to have a beam that's suspended in midair? And the answer is that he puts a pole in the middle of the entrance, a vertical pole that has a crossbar on it, and he's able to lay down the Korah on top of this crossbar, so to speak, but it doesn't connect neither to the right kosel nor to the left kosel. And in this case, the Braisa makes the following condition. Pachos mishlosha, if the distance between the Korah and the walls of the kosel on both sides is less than 3 tfachim, then we can apply the principle of lavud, and we can extend the Korah and consider that that airspace between the end of the Korah on each side and the walls of the Mavui is completely closed. V'ein tzarch lahavi Korah acheres. There's no need to replace this Korah and bring in an additional Korah. But shlosha, if on the other hand the distance between the two ends of the Korah and the Solim is 3 tfachim or more, then tzarch lahavi Korah acheres, because in this case the Korah is not sitting on top of the kosle hamavui, and we have more of a distance than we could allow for lavud. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel, he has a different opinion as far as lavud is concerned. Lavud depends not on 3 tfachim, but rather on 4 tfachim. So pachos me'asara, if as long as the distance, the airspace between the ends of the Korah and the walls is less than 4 tfachim, then we can apply the principle of lavud, because Rav Shimon Gamliel holds lavud in kol dinei Torah is 4 tfachim, v'ein tzarch lahavi korah acheres. But if the distance is arba, if it's 4 tfachim or more, tzarch lahavi korah acheres. The Gemara now goes back to analyze the opening line in this brisa. The brisa says that hoysa koroso mishucha o tluya. My love, shouldn't we assume that the difference between Meshucha and Tluya, these two scenarios, is that Meshucha is Mibachutz. Meshucha means that there's a certain distance between the Kosle HaMavui and the Korah, which is Bachutz. The Korah is outside in Rishus HaRabim. And Tluya means that even though the Korah is Mibifnim, it's inside the Mavui, within the Kosle HaMavui, but nevertheless, Tluya, it's not attached to the Mavui, not on this side, nor on that. And if that be the case, then we have a clear-cut contradiction to Rava. Because, if you recall, Rava was of the opinion that if the Korah is not within the airspace of the Mavui, then it's absolutely invalid. But yet, according to this Braisa, we have a case of Meshucha, and then we have another case of Tluya. And in the case of Meshucha, we said that there is a distance between the Korah and the Kosle HaMavui, in which case the Korah is Mibachutz. And yet, despite that, the Braisa tells us that if there's a possibility of applying lavud and the distance is less than 3 tfachim, then the Korah is qualifies. So the Gemara answers, lo, That's not the real interpretation of the Braisa. Idi ve'idi mibifnim. Both the cases of Meshucha and Tluya are inside the airspace of the Mavui. And that's why if we have Lavud, we can validate this Korah. And what's the difference then between Meshucha and Tluya? If they're both inside the airspace of the Mavui, Meshucha miruach achas, utluya mishtei ruchos. How far, or shall I be more precise and say, on which side of the Korah and its relationship to the Kotzel is there an airspace, a distance? The case of Meshucha is a case where the Korah is sitting directly on top of the Kosel, but only on one of the two Ksolim. And on the other Kosel, there's a distance between the Korah and the Kosel, which means that it seems that the weight of the beam is able to hold up that beam, even though it's only sitting on the Kosel on one side. Tluya is that case that we discussed before, where you had some sort of a pole, a vertical pole that was holding on up the beam, and the beam is not connected neither to this Kosel on the right nor to the other Kosel on the left. Mal de tema, I might have thought. Now we're explaining why we need even the case of Ruach Achas. Mal de tema, I would have said Ruach Achas amrinan lavud, but mishtei ruchos lo amrinan lavud kamash malon. So it goes like a lo zu afsu, meaning I'm going to tell you the lesser chidush, and that's the case where at least the ruach, at least the korah is sitting on one ruach, on one side of the kosel. And now I'm going to tell you an even greater chidush, that even if the beam is not connected and not laying down on any of the two ksalim, even in that case, if we have lavud, we will apply lavud. I might have thought that I'm not going to apply lavud in a case where I have to apply lavud twice. I got to get lavud to stop up the difference on the distance on the right and on the left. Kamash malon, the Tana wants to tell me that we can apply lavud even on both sides. Rav Ashi is not happy with this approach because he doesn't believe that the Tana would have to repeat himself and have Meshucha and Tluya in order to tell me that even if it's separated on both sides, that's not a chiddush from the perspective of Rav Ashi. And furthermore, you know, it doesn't seem like that's the interpretation of the words Meshucha and Tluya. But rather, Rav Ashi says, let's integrate Meshucha and Tluya into one single phrase, one scenario, and the word Tluya is coming to qualify and describe Meshucha, and it means Meshucha vehi tluya. Hechi dami, what does it mean Meshucha vehi tluya? Kigon shenatz shtei yisedos akumos al gavi shnei kosle amavui. What he does is he takes pegs and on top of the ksalim he knocks these pegs vertical, and he adds a horizontal piece, like on a 90-degree angle, going towards the middle of the entranceway into the Mavui. And with these two pegs, right, it's almost like a, if you could look at my hand, it's like a resh, you know, or an upside-down L, if you will. He's got that on both sides, where he connects the beam from one side to the other. And we have to add another condition here. She'ein begovan shlosha ve'ein be'akmumisan shlosha. Which means that we have to talk about the distance between the top of the ksalim and the korah which is on top. And in addition, we have to speak about the distance between the korah and the kosel on the, shall we call it, the horizontal side, meaning in terms of its distance to the kosel. And in such a case, we're going to apply two different imaginary halachic principles. One is called chavot, and chavot allows me to see something that's higher as if it were lower, and chavot means to beat it down, lahashpil, and we have lovut. So the chavot is going to compensate for the fact that the beam is above the top height of the two ksolim, and we're going to lower the beam because the distance between the beam and the ksolim on which it should have been resting is less than 3 tefachim, and that's called chavot, and we bring the beam down, so to speak, in an imaginary way, and we're going to apply lovud to connect that beam on both sides to the two ksolim because the distance between the ends of these, the two ends of the beam and the two walls is less than 3 tefachim. Mal detema, I might have thought, O lovud amrinan, O chavot amrinan, we can apply one of these two imaginary halachos that allow you to connect two things, either lovud or chavot. But lovud v'chavot, when you're piggybacking both, one on top of the other, lovud and chavot, lo amrinan, we do not apply these two magical principles together at the same time. The Tana wants to teach me, no, we can apply both chavot and lavud, both. At the end of the day, this brisa does not prove anything about the case that we had of the korah that's beyond the airspace of the mavui, when he put the two yesedos on the front sides sticking out of the two ksolim, and then he lays down the korah on these two pegs that are protruding. And that's a discussion that we could have as to how we accept the halacha, like Rav Chisda or Rava, but it's not in any way reflected in this price. Now we're going to go back to discuss the question of carrying underneath the korah. Now, in addition to the issue that we discussed about carrying directly underneath the korah, we have another issue. Let's say he was masakin the mavui not through korah, but through the other method, which is called lechi. So he puts a lechi down on the inner entranceway on the right, let's say. And now the question is he allowed to carry in that airspace, which is parallel, keneged, the lechi? Tony, Rabbi Zakkai Kamei de Rabbi Yochanan. We have a brice that was brought in front of Rabbi Yochanan and said, Bein lechayayim v'tachas hakora nidon kikarmelis. That the area between the lechayayim. Now, again, you only need one lechi. So the plural here of lechi is talking about, in general, different, you know, Reuven's mavui, Shimon's mavui, etc. But the area entering into the mavui, which is got your lechi on the right, in that exact area where the lechi is directly on your right, are you allowed to carry? And the answer is no. Why? Because this brisa considers that area to be a karmelis. A karmelis is an area which rabbinically is prohibited. You're not allowed to carry there. And the same halach applies to tachas hakorah, that the area directly underneath the beam is considered like a karmelis. Omalesa, Rabbi Yochanan responds, Rav Zakkai Pok, Tani Libra, very famous phrase, which means go out and teach it outside, meaning keep it out of the Beis Medrash. I cannot accept this price. It's not a reliable price. Omar Abaye, Mistabra Milsei to Rabbi Yochanan, if Rabbi Yochanan was making his comment on Tachas HaKorah, there's a certain compelling logic to it, because Tachas HaKorah is considered part of the Mavui, and it doesn't make sense to consider that a Karmelis, because the whole purpose of the Korah is to remove the status of Karmelis to this Mavui and give it the status of Heter Tiltul. So let's assume that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the Mechitza of the Korah starts with the outer Chud HaChitzoni, if you remember that phrase, and therefore Tachas HaKorah is inside the Mavui. So we understand now why Rabbi Yochanan could not tolerate this brisa. Aval bein alechayayim asur. But in this case, when you're talking about bein alechayayim, here says Abaye, there's a compelling logic to assume that bein alechayayim is considered a karmelis and it's asur, even though tachas hakorah is mutar. Now we can explain this in two ways. There's the explanation of Rashi and Tosfos on the one end, and the Rashba on the other. According to Rashi and Tosfos, the reason why bein alechayayim is also according to Abaye is because if we're going to allow him to carry in that area which is parallel to the lechi on his right, then it's very easy for him to mistakenly carry even outside the lechi, because the lechi is a very thin vertical pole and it's close to the Rishus HaRabim. It's really there on the border. He may cross over into Rishus HaRabim. And that's because of the shear of a lechi as a kolshu. There's no minimum thickness of a lechi. It could be just a very, very thin pole. Whereas in the case of the korah, it's got to be a minimum of a tefach. He'll be aware of the fact that he has to stop, you know, when he gets to the end of the korah, and he won't carry on into Rishus HaRabim. That's the opinion of Abaye. And Rava disagrees. Amar bein alechayayim nami mutar. Rav Yochanan rejects this price on two grounds. First of all, he holds that tachas hakorah is mutar. And secondly, he holds that bein alechayayim is also mutar. He's not afraid that you might cross over and carry into the Rishus HaRabim. All this is according to Rashi and Tosfos. The Rashba has a different pshat. The Rashba wants to explain that Abaye, by differentiating between Tachas HaKorah and Bein HaLechayayim, what he meant to say is that as far as the laws of Mechitza are concerned, there's a fundamental difference between the Korah on the one hand and the Lechi on the other hand. Whereas in the case of the Korah, it serves as a Mechitza from the outer front side of the korah all the way down, and therefore underneath the korah you're allowed to carry. It's inside the heter korah. But in the case of a lechi Abaye holds, it is only a mechitza from the chuda hapnimi, the inner part or side or facade of the lechi is what closes off the mavli, and therefore bein alechayayim is certainly also. And Rava never accepted that distinction. Omar Rava, Mino Aminaloch, how do I know? Is there a source to say that Rabbi Yochanan actually holds that Bein Alechayayim is Mutter? And the answer is, Dechi Asa Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi was one of the two outstanding disciples of Rabbi Yochanan, who traveled a lot from Eretz Yisrael to bring Rabbi Yochanan's Torah and transmit it to Bavel. When he came to Bavel, he told us, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, I heard from Rabbi Yochanan that Makom She'ein Bo Arba Al Arba Mutter L'Bnei Rishus HaRabim. So here we have a pole that sticks out. When I was a kid, they used to talk about a fire hydrant. And it juts out between Rishus HaRabim on the one hand and Rishus HaYochid on the other hand. It doesn't have the dimensions of a Rishus HaYochid, meaning it's less than 10 tefachim high, it's less than 4 tefachim wide, 4 square tefachim wide. It's called a makom patur. So if you're coming in the Rishus HaYochid and you are wearing a knapsack and you want to move it around, you're allowed to lay it down on this pole, which is a makom patur. Or alternatively, if you're in Rishus HaRabim and you need to take a rest and you want to shift around the weight from your one side of your shoulder to the other, you're allowed to be makate, if you're allowed to lean on this pole. And the reason for that is, once again, the status of this pole is that of a makom patur. Ubelach lo yachlifu. However, we're not going to allow the use of this pole in order to take an object and transfer it from one rishus to the other. Meaning, let's say Reuven is standing in Rishus HaYochid, he wants to get this knapsack into Rishus HaRab, and he can't do it on Shabbos because of Meleches Hotzah. What he does is, he says, you know what? Shimon, you're in the Rishus Rabbah, I'm going to put this down on this pole and you pick it up, or vice versa. Because in this case, to the onlooker, it really looks like he's carrying something from Rishus Rabbah to Rishus HaYachid, and he may not be sensitive to the fact that it was put down in a Makom Ptur between. And therefore, we have to be Gozer Gzeirah D'Rabbanan of Ubilvad Shelo Yachlifa. But getting back to our discussion, what you see clearly is that if you have an area and its space is less than 4x4 tefachim, then it's called a Makom Ptur. We don't call it a Karmelis. So let's talk about the lechi, right? The area between the lechi on the one side and the other side of the Pesach HaMavui is less than Arbal Arba Tfachin. In other words, the area, right? Because the lechi itself is almost thin, you know, it's almost finger thin, right? It's a shear of a culture. So certainly the area that you're talking about doesn't have 4 amos in width. That's impossible because it's a lechi, unless you had a gigantic lechi. So therefore, the area right to the side of the lechi, which we call Bein al-Chayayim, that area is a makom ptur. It's lacking the basic precondition of the size of a karmelis, which is arbal arba. We saw that in this very statement of Rabbi Yochanan, that a makom she'ein bo arba arba is considered a makom ptur. It's not considered a karmelis. And therefore, Rava says, we can extrapolate from this statement of Rabbi Yochanan that Bein al-Chayayim would certainly be mutter. So the Gemara asks Abaye, how is he going to deflect this question, this proof of Rava? After all, he holds that Bein al-Chayayim is asur. And the answer is hasam, there in the case of... There, in the case of the pole that's a makom ptur, it doesn't have arba alba, is begavoa shlosha. In other words, that pole, as I called it, a fire hydrant, right, is an obvious piece of material, so to speak. It's a, again, using the Hebrew here, it's a makom chaluk biatzmo. It's quite clear to the eye that it's a separate place, because it's at least a minimum of 3 tefachim high. And therefore, no one's going to consider this as if it was a Rishus HaRabim. Therefore, there's no Gzeiras Chachamim, and you could be Matir Tiltul if you're using that Lekate, whether it's from Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaRabim. But in the case of Keneged HaLechi, there it's not a Mokum Nikar Bifnei Atzma. I mean, that area to the left of the Lechi has no minimum space or height or anything of that sort. And therefore, it's very easy for a person to mistakenly carry out Inter Rishus HaRabim from this Bein al-Chayayim. Amar Abai Mino Amidale, I'm going to try to prove to you that I have a source that Rabbi Yochanan would hold that Keneged HaLechi is Osur B'Tiltul. The Amar Rav Chama Bar Guria Amar Rav Toch HaPesach Tzorech Lechi Acher La'atiro. Now what this means is that the entrance way into a Mavui has what's called Ptzimim. Ptzimim are the sides, what we would call the mezuzos, maybe you'd call it a frame, and they have a certain width to them, and they basically enter into the Mavui. And if you have Tznimim, which means the following, that instead of having two walls that go parallel one to the other, with an entranceway that opens up the entire area between the two walls, you have Tznimim, you have kind of like frames that are coming out of both sides at the end of the wall towards each other. And in this case, the halacha is that you cannot use and rely on these two ptzimim as if they each one was a lechi, or one of the two was a lechi latiro. You're going to have to add another lechi. That means that between one lechi and the other, between one of the tzimim and the other, you're not allowed to carry unless you added another lechi. But why? That area between the two tzimim is really bein ha'lechayayim. And if, as Rav understood Rabbi Yochanan, it's mutter to carry bein ha'lechayayim, he should be able to carry between the two tzimim. V'chitem, and if you'll answer and deflect me by saying the ispe arba al arba, that maybe these tzimim are so wide, entering into the mavui, that the area that is now defined by bein ha'tzimim is four tfachim wide, and if it's four tfachim wide, then it has the din of a caramelist, because we said that the reason why Rava was Mekil in the case, I'm sorry, the reason why Rava was Machmir in the case, did I get the names right? Just one second. No, I'm sorry. Rava was Mekil. The reason why Abaye was Machmir, sorry, I got the names mixed up for a second, in Bein Al-Chayayim, is because Abaye holds that in this case, there's no Arba Tfachim. There's no Arba Tfachim. And maybe you'll say here that there is Arba Tfachim, meaning, here's what Abaye is trying to defend Rava, and he's saying, and if Rava, you will deflect my raya, and you will tell me that the reason why I need another lechi here in this case is because there's a shetach, there's an area of four tfachim between the two pesnimim, and that makes it into a caramel, is because we said Rava is mekil in the case of a lechi because it doesn't have the presence and the dimensions of a caramelist, the four tefachim. Maybe here it has four tefachim, and therefore it has the status of a caramelist. Va'omar abchanin barava, omar rav, tocha pesach, afal pisha einbo arba al arba tzorach lechi acher letiro. So we have this qualification of rav, that even if there's no four tefachim square in the area between the two ptzimim, nevertheless, it's also to be metaltal, and we need another lechi. So you can't tell me that the area is such that it's wide enough to qualify as a caramelist, because Rav says even if it's not wide enough to qualify as a caramelist. So now the Gemara asks V'Rava, what's he going to respond to the proof that Abaye is adducing from Rav Chava Bar Gurya? And again, the assumption is Rav Yochanan would accept that statement of Rav Chava Bar Gurya. And he's going to ask, and he answers, Hasam, in the case of Rav Chama Bar Gurya, de pasuach le caramelis. It means that the mavui is not open to Rishus HaRabim. We normally say that you go from the Rishus HaRabim into the mavui. He's talking about a case where you have a bika, which is a caramelis, that enters into the mavui. And as a result, the area between the Ptsimim is also considered like a caramelist, and that's why it's asur. So the Gemara immediately asks, Avol Rishus HaRabim Mai, are you implying, Rava, that if the entranceway into the Mavui is from a Rishus HaRabim Shari, then we'd be allowed to carry in between the Ptsimim? Is the Gemara now activates a very famous idiotic phrase, Yatsiva bi'ara v'giyura b'shmei shmaya, which means that if you have a permanent resident, one of the local citizens, and you put him all the way down on the karka, and if you have an alien, a ger who comes from the outside, he's a stranger, you're going to put him all the way up in shamayim, all the way up on top? In other words, you're saying something that's counterintuitive. Rishus HaRabim is always more chomer than a caramel. Rishus HaRabim is a doraisa. So how is it possible that if the mavui opens up into a caramelist, then you're going to be more chamor, you're going to be more machmir, prohibiting bein apsimim, but whereas if it would have opened up into a sarabim, you're going to allow it. And Rava says, yes, I will accept that svara, and the mavi that opens up into a karmel, this is more chamor than the mavi that opens up into a sarabim. How is that so? Because matzah minis mino v'neir, two things that are similar to each other, like wake each other up. One wakes up the other one. One strengthens the other one. So therefore, if you have this area between the two lechis, meaning between the tzimim, that opens up into a karmelis, then the area is considered as a karmelis, meaning it's an extension of the karmelis. The karmelis found another area that is similar to a karmelis, and therefore the status of karmelis expands to include even that area. But if on the other hand, the mavui opens up into reshus harabim, and therefore there's no similarity between the area in the mavui bein apsimim and reshus harabim that leads into the mavui, in such a case, since it's not similar at all, therefore there's no matzah minis mi on the niyar, it's not like the reshus harabim is going to awaken and strengthen the status of this area bein apsimim, and therefore bein apsimim in that case would be mutter. Amalei Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Yeshua Rav aviat lo tizbara de bein l'chayayim asur. Rav Huna asks Rav, you have to reorient yourself. I'm going to prove to you from another statement of Rav Yochanan that certainly bein l'chayayim is asur. Amar Rav bar Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan mavui sheritzafo bil l'chayayim. Now the word ritzafo here is not to be identified with ritzuf in modern Hebrew, which means to put down a floor, but rather it's identified with the Hebrew word ritzifut. Ritzifut means it's continuous. So what does he do? He puts up a mavui, a vertical pole, at the entrance to the... He puts up a lechi, excuse me, at the entrance into the mavui, and then a little bit distance, he puts up another lechi, and then he waits a distance and puts up another lechi. So that when you enter into this mavui, you have a whole bunch of lechis, one inside the mavui, and the other the next inside the mavui, and further inside the mavui, and further inside the mavui. And pachos me'arba, and the distance between each lechi that he sets up is less than four tefachim. So it's somewhere between three tefachim and four tefachim. Is banu l'machlokes, Rav Shimon Gamliel, v'rabbanu. This is going to be an application of the issue, what is the shear of lavud? Lefi, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Diomar Amrinan Lavud. We say Lavud in any area that is separated by a distance of less than four tefachim. So each one of these lechis is really connected to the next lechi without any space between them because it's less than four tefachim. We applied Lavud. And therefore, Mishtamesh ad chudo hapnimi shel halechi hapnimi. If we view these various, let's call them four lechis, as one lechi, because we're going to be so same, the airspace in between each lechi is less than four tefachim, Rav Shimon Gamliel, then you're allowed to carry from the last of these four lechis and beyond, inside in the depth of the mav. Why? Because it's one long lechi, and we're going to hold now that the matir of a lechi is from the chudo apnimi, from the inner facade. The rabbanon, the amri lo amrin and lavud. According to rabbanon, there's no lavud here because it's more than a three tefachim distance between one lechi and the other. Therefore, each lechi is a separate entity. And mishtamish al chudo apnimi shalachitzon. Then which of these various lechis here is the real lechi? And that's the first lechi that you come to when you enter into the mavui. So you're allowed to carry from the chudo apnimi of the outer lechi and beyond. Avol bein alechayayim de kulei alma osur. Whether it's the Rabbanon or Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yochanan holds that bein alechayayim is osur. Because again, if you don't assume that bein alechayayim is asur, so why should this din of a mavui of ritzufim, of lechayayim ritzufos, why should that be dependent upon the machlokas between Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanon? In other words, whether you consider all the l'chayayim as one lechi, or whether you consider them as many, many different lechis, in any case, you'd be allowed to use keneged kulam, right? Ad tchila shel lechi achitza, because bein al-chayayim is mutter. If bein al-chayayim is mutter, the whole issue here of when you have, whether you have one lechi, one continuous lechi like Rav Shimon, or many different lechis like Rabbanan, is totally irrelevant for Rava. So how is Rava going to respond to this objection of Rav Huna? Hasam nami depasuach lekarmelis. I'm going to assume that this statement is also referring, like we said before when we discussed Rav's statement, of a case where it's a karmelis that feeds into the mavli. And therefore, I agree in the case where the mavli leads you out into a karmelis, that matzah min esmino v'neor, and therefore the Beinaha l'chayayim has the status of the extended karmelis, and you can't carry there. And the only way you can carry there is if you have a valid lechi. And now we have machlokas between Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rabbanon. Where is the valid lechi? Is it the first lechi when you come in, or the fourth in the row? Ah, volushus rab mai shari yatziva biara v'gior b'shmei shmaya in motzah min esmino v'neor. Gemara goes through the same shakla v'tarya now and explains it. And here we turn to Daf Tes Amid Beis. Now the Gemara wants to offer an alternative explanation for Rabbi Yochanan as far as a mavui sheritzafo bilachayayim. And we're going to offer a different interpretation that's going to defend Rava, who holds that according to Rabbi Yochanan, bein alachayayim is mutu betiltul. Rav Ashi Omar, we can really accept the principle, the premise of Rava, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, bein alachayayim is mutu betiltul. Aye, Rabbi Yochanan says that if you have a mavui with l'chayayim ritzufim, that depends, the law will depend upon the machlokes of Shimon Gamliel Rabbanon. Kigon, sheretzafo b'l'chayayim pochos pochos me'arba, b'meshech arba amos. This sequence of l'chayayim, the space between each one, each lechi, is less than four tfachim, continues into the depths of the mavui for four amos, which means that if we integrate all these lechis into one lechi, I now have a lechi that's four amos. Now, we had a sugya earlier, if you remember, that if the lechi has four amos, it's considered not a separate lechi, it's part of the mavui. It like strengthens the mavui, the walls of the mavui. Is lirab Shimon Gamliel diomar mina lavud, since it's less than four tefachim, one lechi from the other, it's one long lechi, is havile mavui. Now we would consider that lechi, because it has four amos in its size, to be considered part of the mavui. It can't function as a lechi, and therefore we're going to need another lechi to be matir this mavui. Tzorach lechi achlatir. Ularabbanon diomar mina lavud, mina lavud, but according to the Rabbanon, that each lechi is a separate entity. So each lechi, let's say, is one amma in width. I'm just throwing out an example. And therefore, it's a valid lechi. And lo tzarch lechi akalatiro. There's no need for another lechi. Now the Gemara is going to object to Rav Ashi, because according to Rav Ashi, Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that you cannot be matir this mavui with this lechi. You need another lechi. Rav Shimon Gamliel, are you telling me that since all these lechis are one long lechi, and they have the shear of four amos in this case, I think that Rav Shimon Gamliel would still be able to be matir the mavui with this lechi. Why? Because lehevi nireh mibachutz v'shavah mibifnim. What this means is that Gemara assumes that whenever you put up a lechi, you situate the lechi in such a way that part of the lechi goes out into Rishus Arab. It protrudes into Rishus Arab. And the reason that a person would do such a thing is because he wants to make sure that people who are on the outside of the Mavui, they're walking around in the Rishus Arab, they should immediately see the Lechi. They should identify the Lechi. Because if the lechi ends at the end of the kosel and it doesn't extend a little bit into, over the bounds into Rishus Arabim, then people might mistakenly think that this is actually part of the mavui, or shall we say it's in addition to the thickness of the kosel. That makes sense. So therefore, in this case, it's nira mi bachutz v'shav mi bifnim. What do we mean? That on the inside, if you're standing inside the mavui from your perspective, what you see is a very long lechi, right? And that becomes like a wall of the kosel. It has 4 amos in length. But if you're outside of Rishus HaRabim, you will see that small amount of the lechi, the first lechi that protrudes out into Rishus HaRabim, and that's called nira mi bachutz. Bachutz means on the outside, I could see that there's a lechi here. And if that be the case, that lechi should be considered valid because of the fact that people on the outside in Rishus HaRabim, they perceive the lechi. Gemara answers, no, midi hutaima el Rab Yochanan. After all, Rav Ashi is trying, and everyone's trying to explain Rav Yochanan, and Haki Asa Ravin, Amar Rav Yochanan, Nirami Bachutz Shav Bifnim, Eino Nido Mishum Lechi. Rav Yochanan's position, although this is not the final halacha, but Rav Yochanan's point of view was that even if the people on the outside of the Mavui, in Rishus HaRabim, they perceive the Lechi, that's not sufficient. We need it to be a Heker for those who are inside the Mavui. Itmar, we learned in the Beis Medrash. Let's say you put up a lechi at the entranceway into a mavui, and it's nirim bibifnim v'shava mibachutz, which means that for those who are standing inside the mavui, they are able to see this lechi because the lechi is situated attached to the kosel of the mavui, but it protrudes, this lechi that you added to the kosel protrudes in a certain minimum thickness beyond the wall itself, so that therefore if you're standing in the mavui and you take your eye takes like a beeline straight down the kosel, you'll eventually see some part that protrudes from the kosel. Although shavu v'chutz, if you're standing on the outside of the mavui, then you will not be able to discern this lechi, because in this case, the lechi is just a continuation of the wall. Now, which wall do I mean? What I probably have in mind here, although it could go two ways, is the wall to the left that connects to the wall of the mavui. And it looks like this is just an added thickness to the wall. But let's say it the other way around. Rashi seems to assume that Shava Mibachutz means that the people who are standing outside the Mavui, they see this Lechi as an extension of the Kosel of the Mavui. See, what bothers me here is that, you know, the entranceway to the Mavui, as we said, could be as low as 10 Tvachim. Okay, but let's assume, for argument's sake, just for the fun of it, that the various ksolim are much higher than 10 tefachim. And if that be the case, if you're standing outside the mavui looking at the kosel, you don't see that the piece is protruding. It doesn't appear to you as that. It appears to you that that's the thickness of the kosel. Now, the reason I say this is because, you know, if the kosel was much lower, then I think a person walks by the entrance, he should be able to see inside the mavui. But anyway, let's talk about a case of a person who's standing exactly in front of the kosel. So he sees a wall, he doesn't see a lechi. Is that called nidon mishum lechi? Fine. And here I can explain that the main purpose of the lechi, and for that matter to be mati of the mavui, is for those people inside the mavui. They want to be able to carry on Shabbos in the mavui. If they see and perceive the lechi, that's sufficient. Oh, but what about the opposite case? Nira mi bachutz. I can only see it or perceive it on the outside. V'shava mi b'fnim. If I'm inside the mavui, I don't notice this lechi. Again, it looks like it's a continuation of the thickness of the wall. And here you have to draw a picture of it. And there are many, many different possibilities of what the picture looks like, but there are two basic possibilities. One of them, would be where the kosel from the inside, now it's standing inside the mavui, the kosel continues beyond the parallel kosel on the other side. It extends and protrudes into Rishus HaRab. So therefore, somebody standing in Rishus HaRab obviously sees this piece that's sticking out, but if you're standing inside the mavui, it looks like it's a continuation of the kosel on mavui. It's exactly, you know, flat up against the kosel on mavui. It doesn't protrude. Now, there's another possibility here, and that is that the lechi itself has a flat surface on the outside, and part of that surface protrudes, either the outer side or the inner side, and that's your lechi. That, again, is only visible to someone who's standing on the outside. So what's the deal, what's the status of niri b'bachutz v'shove b'bifnim? I mean, if the whole purpose of the lechi is to be matir and to be a heker for the b'nei ha-mavui, they don't notice it, they don't see it, they don't perceive it as a lechi. Is here we have machlokas between Rav Chiya and Rav Shimbar Rebbe. Chad omer, according to one opinion, nido mishum lechi, even in this case, since the b'nei Rishus HaRav on the outside, they see that there's a lechi, they assume that the people who share this mavui certainly must have set up this lechi. They're not going to suspect them of carrying there without a lechi. And chad omer eino nido mishum lechi. This doesn't have the status of a lechi, because a lechi has to be nikar to the b'nei hamavui on the inside. And the Gemara says, "Tistayim, I'm going to prove to you the Rabbi Chiya who di omer nido mishum lechi, that of these two Amoraim, it's Rabbi Chiya who is of the opinion that." Now, I call them Amoraim. Rabbi Chiya is a little bit complicated. Rabbi Chiya might be considered a Tana. He's in that transitional period. Anyway, Rabbi Chiya was famous for bringing brisos, and the Tani Rav Chiya, I'm going to prove from a brisa that was quoted by Rav Chiya, that Rav Chiya holds that even if it's only nikar mibachutz, it still is a valid lechi. Kosel shetzido echad konus mechavero is bein nirim bachutz v'shav bifnim, bein nirim bachutz v'shav bachutz, nirim bifnim v'shav bachutz, is nido mishum lechi. Here's a case where part of the kosel ha-mavui is nichnas, it's so to speak depressed, right? So that it became narrow, much more narrow than the rest of the kosel. So you have a kosel that has a certain thickness, and at some point, as the kosel exits towards the entrance way or the exit way from the mavui into Shusar, it becomes very narrow. And you could have two such scenarios. You can have a scenario where it became narrow and it's only perceivable inside the mavui, right? Because if it became narrow going down this way, so you have the kosel and you're walking out of the mavui, you see that it's depressed. Or it could be a case where it's nikar to the person who's outside the mavui, and that would mean that it gets depressed towards the outer part of this kosel. Anyway, in both cases, Rabbi Chiya in his brisa says that it's nido mishum lechi. So you see that you can be matir mavui, whether or not it's nira mibachutz or it's nira mibifnim. Either way, it's kosher. And this time, the Gemara says that's a great raya. Now the Gemara asks a question on this proof that Rabbi Chiya holds that lechi nira mibachutz is nidon kill lechi, but Rabbi Yochanan, what's Rabbi Yochanan going to do now? Rabbi Yochanan, remember, he was of the opinion that nirim mibachutz v'shavim mibifnim is not nidon, it's not kosher as a lechi. Is milo shamile laha? Did he not hear about this braisa? Why would he contradict the braisa? So Gemara answers, el shmi levelo sovarle. He heard about the braisa, but he disagreed with the braisa, and he has the right to disagree with the braisa, and he holds that nirim bachutz v'shav mifnim is eino nido mishum lechi. No, so the Gemara asks Rabbi Chiya Nami Lo Sovrele. Maybe we should say that Rabbi Chiya himself didn't agree with this price. He was just quoting the price. No. Hi, Mai. That doesn't make any sense. Bishlema Rabbi Yochanan Lo Sovrele Mishamachi Lo Tonile. Rabbi Yochanan knew about the Brisa. He was aware of it, but he never quoted the Brisa because he disagreed with the Brisa. El Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Chiya Isa de Lo Sovrele, if Rabbi Chiya disagreed with the Brisa, he held Eino Nino Mishum Lechi, is Lovele Lemisne. Why would he quote the Brisa? Amar Rabba Bar Arhuna, Nira Mi Bachutz, Vishava Mi Bifnim Nido Mishum Lechi. This seems to be the final conclusion of the Gemara, that we're Mekil, and we accept that Brisa of Rabbi Chiya, and even though the Lechi is only discernible to those who are walking outside the Mavui in the Rishus Rab, nevertheless the Lechi is valid. Amar Rabba, the Gemara now brings a kasha that Rabba asks on himself. I mean, Rabbi just finished paskening that Nido Mishum Lechi, Umosvinen Ashmaitin. For intellectual honesty, I'm going to ask on my own statement based on a Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, Chotzer Ktana, Shenifritza L'Chotzer Gdola. So you have two Chatzeros. One of them is wider, that's called a Chotzer Gdola, and the other is more narrow, and they face each other. And there's a wall that separates the two, and that wall was breached. So now, from the perspective of the Chotzer Ktana, there's nothing left to that kosel that separated it from the Chotzer Gdola. It's completely gone. Again, if you're standing in the Chotzer Pnimis, it's therefore the Mishnah Paskins Gdola Muteres uKtana Sura. The Gdola is Muteres because from the perspective of the Gdola, he still sees the Mechitzos on the right and the left, which weren't broken down. So he has the vestiges of these mechitzos. And from the perspective of the ketan, on the other hand, there's no mechitzos whatsoever. It's completely parutz into the gedola. And therefore, if you have one chotzer that opens up into another chotzer, then that chotzer asses the other one. Now, here there's a discussion, we don't have time for this right now, as to whether or not an Eruv Chatzeros would be helpful here. I'm just going to read to you very quickly. He says, Ktana Asura Betiltul Me'abatim Sheba, from any of the houses that spill into this smaller Chatzer, you're not allowed to carry. Eino Mo'el Ibnei Osa Chatzer. Irvu beinam levein atzmam eruv chatzeros. What means is that if all the houses that share the common smaller courtyard in this case, that was completely borrowed into the larger courtyard, if they made an eruv chatzeros, that would not help them. Because now we have what's called a chatzah prutza b'milua l'makama asur la. It's completely opened into another chatzah. And the implication here, if I understand it correctly, is that if they would make an Erev Chatzeres together with the Gdola, then it would be Matir. And the Mishnah explains, why is that the Chatzah Gdola is Muteres, and it's not considered Prutza? And the answer is, Mipnei Shehi Kepischa Shel Gdola, because we view this open area after the breaching of the wall as a Pesach, as an opening into the Chatzah Gdola. The Isa, if you're going to tell me Nido Mishum Lechi is Ktananami Tishrei Benira Mi Bachutz Veshav Mi Mifnim. After all, there are Lechis on both sides. Again, you can't see it from the perspective of the Chatzah Ktana, but nevertheless, if you would just walk into the Chatzah Gdola, you would see these Mechitzos on both sides, and therefore we should apply the rule and the status of Nira Mibachutz to this Chatzer Ktana. And Rav is asking this as a question on himself. Om Rav Zera B'nichnasim Kosle Ktana L'gdola. It's not a case where the walls of the smaller Chatzer terminate when they hit you know, the those shirayim, those vestiges of the walls on the right or the left of the chatzar chitzona, but rather the walls of the chatzar haktana continue even into the chatzar gedola in such a way that they could never possibly connect up with the mechitzos. And that's called Eina Mechitzos Nikaros. And that's why the chatzar ketan is asur. B'nichnasim kosle haktana ligdola. And the minimum amount that it would have to enter, it would have to extend into the gedola is 2 amos. So we cannot consider the mechitzos on the 2 wide ends of the chatzar gedola serving in any way towards the chatzar ketana, because you have these ksalim that separate, because they continue into the chatzar hagedola. So now the Gemara is going to ask for lema lavud. So b'li neder, tomorrow we're going to pick up this question of lema lavud. So let's just make a note of where we got up to for today. We're on the bottom of daf tes amid beis, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up from the bottom. And b'li neder, we'll pick that up tomorrow.